You know, the toughest thing we've got going is spending levels. And we are going to see a significant drop in expenditures for conservation programs. And that's going to be tough because there are always consequences to that.
Do you see a fair amount of land coming out of the Conservation Reserve Program, habitat programs, and so on?
Yeah, I do. And that, of course, as a wildlife biologist and as a pheasant hunter, quail hunter, you know, that's a real concern to me. We are seeing a significant reduction in CRP lands, especially in the north central region of the country. It's just, you know, it's tough to compete with record high land values, near record. I know they've dropped off recently, but commodity prices as well. And so it's a little tougher to be competitive with a lot of these voluntary incentive-based conservation programs right now.
Were there things you like in the bill?
There are. It does maintain a lot of our favorite programs, things like the Conservation Reserve programs that address wetlands restoration and protection, and all great habitat programs for a huge suite of wildlife species. It's also got a number of programs that help farmers with working lands projects, things like the EQIP project and others, where we can be a win-win for farmers and for the environment and wildlife at times.
So we've seen quite a swing here in the last couple of farm bills. I mean, there was a time that this was going to be a conservation-based farm bill, you know, two farm bills ago, and all of a sudden we've gone to much more commodity-based.
Well, it certainly makes it a little bit tougher. You know, farm bill conservation programs are right there with expenditures on commodity programs right now. And it has been, over time, one of the larger increases, a little bit of an uptick in conservation programs. So I think we're making some progress there, but it's especially challenging today.
So what is the challenge that this presents to organizations such as yours?
Just in terms of our ability to manage landscapes for, you know, sustainable landscapes for both agriculture and for wildlife. You know, with some species, it's relatively easy to do. Pheasants and quail are edge species, and so there's a place on every farm, every ranch, to do a little bit of wildlife management. But then you've got other species that need larger blocks of land, things like waterfowl, prairie grouse, and those types of things.
Of course, when you're dealing with farmers, you're dealing with guys who are stewards of the soil, and a lot of them are hunters. They want to participate in this. They want to have the habitat. Are you working with them to develop, you know, small parcels of habitat on the edges, in between fields, and so on their farms?
Yeah, we have. Over the last few years, the Conservation Reserve Program has morphed considerably into this area. You know, today, a farmer or landowner can walk in and say, hey, I want to be involved in a CP33. It's an upland game bird buffer that'll fit on almost any farming operation out there. Or in many states, CP38s, or CRP Safe, as it's called, can give them, help them implement a practice that's really going to be helpful for pheasants or prairie chickens or bobwhite quail, whatever the target species is in that particular state. And those are little smaller acreage practices with higher per acre rental payments. And so they can really fit with farming operations today.
Are there any states that are adding on to the conservation efforts in the Farm Bill?
Various states still have some pretty good private lands programs as well that kind of complement all of this. And then, of course, in many states, we've got walk-in access programs as well for sportsmen. And again, the landowner is on the beneficial end of that. They get reduced liability, little bump on payment levels, or a payment through another program to help provide access for sportsmen.
What do you see with the Farm Bill? What do you see coming out of the final conference committee here?
Well, I can see overall there's going to be some substantial reductions in conservation programs, period. There's just no way around that, given where we're at with deficit, debt reduction, spending levels, those types of things. And so we're trying to find ways to do more with less, so to speak, make the programs a little more efficient, a little more effective, maximize the benefits that we get out of each program, each acre, that type of thing. And like I said, we got a bill on the floor of the Senate as early as today, and we'll see what happens over the next several months as the House starts to take action, and then potentially we conference something. You know, we do have a deadline of September 30th where the current bill would expire once again.
How's the mood in Washington? What we went through last year with the drought and, of course, shortage of pasture and shortage of grain and everything, there was a growing call to take land out of conservation programs. Has that mood pertained yet?
Well, I think that's still out there, but you know, given what prices are doing right now and dropping back a little bit, that makes me a little more optimistic that we can find a place for some conservation programs in this environment as well. Take a look at the CRP sign-up that's out there. It's on right now, and we've got updated rental rates. I believe you're going to find they're much more competitive right now. And take a look at both the general CRP and the continuous CRP programs.
So tell us a bit about Pheasants Forever.
Well, Pheasants Forever is a voluntary membership organization. We're in 700 basically county-based chapters around the country, primarily the northern half of the country, and a growing number of Quail Forever chapters as well as you get down into that quail range and, say, perhaps parts of Nebraska and Kansas, Illinois, Indiana. You know, just a local group that helps farmers and landowners complete conservation projects on their farms and ranches.
And if they'd like more information on the association?
Pheasantsforever.org.